Let's pray and get started, please. Father, we just thank you, we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. As we are continuing and going on progressively, let's go to finish up our apostolic duties. Then we'll get into tonight's lesson. We've done, so far we've done 20 of the duties executed by an apostle. And so we're going to go on and do number 21 through 26 as I have on my little outline there. Number 21, one a duty that's executed by the apostle is to enforce. The apostles are spiritual enforcers. They enforce kingdom conduct, holiness, biblical standards of righteousness. To enforce means to put or keep in force, to compel to obedience. And so that's the apostolic duty. He enforces it and he compels to for individuals. Number 22 is to convert. Apostles convert people to the laws and cultures of the kingdom. They turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And that's one of the duties that the that Jesus gave to Apostle Paul. As we get into the specific aspects of the apostle, we'll go in and we'll cover that aspect. But you got two scriptures here, Acts 3:19 and Acts 26 and 18. Number 23, it says to train. Apostles train and educate ministers. They develop leadership. And as I go through each one of these duties that's executed by an apostle, I see our apostle. And every time I go through one, I see some aspect of things that he's doing as we're going through each one of these apostolic duties that's executed by an apostle. And all these things I see, that, you know, it wasn't given to him by man. It was given to him by heaven. And as it was revealed to him by heaven, he began to manifest those things in his life and they begin to operate. The apostles ordained, apostles ordained and set in place qualified leadership. This includes selection and confirmation of apostolic organization and which releases fruitfulness. Number 25, the apostle confront. Apostles confront false teachings, witchcraft, immorality, anything that would keep the church from fulfilling its purpose. The apostolic anointing is a confrontational anointing. So as you see, our apostle, there's some things he have to confront. And you know, it seems like it's confrontational, but it's from heaven. And again, it's what heaven wants here on earth. Now, God speaks to him and you know, he have to bring it to the body of Christ in order so he can set those doctrines that heaven wants here on earth in place. And number 26 is to finish. Apostles are focused on finishing. They have an anointing to execute, complete, and fulfill the prophetic plans of God. So they finish the work that God has given to them. And the same thing, they want the body of Christ to finish what God has given to them. A side note. When an apostle faithfully executes his duties, the people who have been birthed into the kingdom and disciplined by his ministry will be faithful epistles to all men, reflecting the apostolic dimension in such a way that they will be effective in the ministries to which God has called them to. So what am I saying? I'm saying if you're under an apostolic government, if an apostle's in your place, whether you're in which, no matter which part of the fivefold ministry God has called you to, you're going to effectively carry out that ministry. Why? Because you have an apostolic anointing upon your life. You have that flow from heaven, that flow of power that comes from heaven on that apostle. And as he comes on him, he imparts that to the membership, and the same anointing that's on his life comes off on your life. So you're going to effectively carry out your duties. today, you know, as we are ministering, as we are seeking God, and God give us things, and you know, one of the things the apostle has told us, in order for us to operate in the supernatural, we have to have progressive revelation. And so as you're seeking God and finding out what it is he wants, and God will come in and he'll reveal things to you. Sometimes he reveal things in to you in the natural. And so, you know, progressive revelation, you know, I had my own idea of definition what progressive is. It means to build up on and that type of thing. Well, today I was fortunate enough to take my wife out to the optometrist to get her eyes checked. And so the optometrist came in, and she have some lens in her glasses in her lens, and in her lens the optometrist asked her, said, "Well, do you want to continue with your progressive lens?" And so she was thinking about changing them because she thought the lens themselves was causing some problems or pressure on her eyes, or she couldn't see or couldn't focus or something. So the optometrist explained to her, he said, "Well, you need the progressive lens because," I'm just showing you about progressive and how the Spirit of God reveals things to you. He said, in the progressive lens, he said, in natural lenses, if you got regular eyeglass lens, he said, they're only designed for one purpose. Say, for instance, if you design them for reading or watching or typing on the computer, he said, when you get up from that computer, those lenses are not going to change with you. So when you move, you're going to have to take those glasses off and see. And so then the Holy Spirit said, see, that's what I was talking about, progressive revelation. He said, when you get progressive revelation, say, I give you revelation, but it's for revelation for a particular time, a particular place. When I give you progressive revelation, whatever you need, wherever you move to, that revelation goes with you, and you're able to do those things that you need to do. I said, I'll be meditating scriptures. Like one, John 15:7, where you say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, he said, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Right. Then as you begin to meditate these things, the Spirit of God come in and he begin to reveal certain things to you and how to operate in the kingdom, how to operate in this supernatural kingdom. And so whatever you need for that time, then you're going to have, he's going to reveal it to you so you can operate in it. So I thought that was so good. I thought I would share that with you, because that, like I said, progressive means that when you go through a situation, when you're in a situation and he brought you through one thing, then something else come up, you can't use that same revelation that you had for that last thing that you had. You have to have a progressive revelation. So when you move somewhere else or the enemy throws something else, the Spirit of God going to reveal something else to you so you can have victory in that situation also. Amen. So that was good. Let's go and finish out. I'll go back to our lesson where we was talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. And we was breaking down each one of the gifts, and we're going to go through each one of them. We're going to go through the apostle. We're going to go through the teacher. We're going to go through the pastor, evangelist. But the main thing we're going to talk about mostly is going to be the, we're going to find out, we're going to have more to talk about the teacher and more to talk about the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastor. It's going to be sort of short. But I want you to see the, I start off with the teacher first, because that's what Jesus began to do, is teach the people. So on the fivefold ministry gifts, let's turn our scripture to Ephesians so we can have a foundation here. And this is a teaching section, so we're going to try to teach a point or show you some things. Ephesians chapter 4, one of our base scriptures. Ephesians 4:4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's some other things, but I always stop there because I like that. If I get that, if that's my destiny to get there, if I get there, then I've accomplished many things while I'm here on earth in the kingdom of God. And so as Jesus did while he was here, he operated in the supernatural. So if I get to that measure while I'm here, then I know I can always operate in the supernatural while I am here. It goes on to say 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 27, I start from verse 27 and I read 27 and 28 here in 1 Corinthians. Again, just foundational scripture. So you hear it and you hear it and you hear it because we are talking about the apostolic, mainly the apostolic government, the apostolic anointing, and how God has set up so we can see that flow of power from heaven down through the apostles, down through those fivefold ministry gifts, so that we can operate on the earth, that we can have, as our apostle brought up yesterday, these days of heaven here on earth. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set. See, I like that part. See, because he didn't wait on for man to do that. See, God said, I did this. God said, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles. That's a flow. As he said, first apostle. That's how God said, you know, he didn't say, you know, I set evangelists first. Or I didn't set teachers first. Or I didn't set pastors first. He said, first apostles. So that means that I'm going to come in first and you're going to see my power flow through them. I'm going to give it to them. And then when I give it to them, they're going to pass it down. They're going to impart it to the other gifts. And then they can operate in the kingdom government the way I set it up. He said, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers. He said, after that, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So after the government has been set, then again, we can see those miracles. It's important. It's very important that we begin to see these signs and these miracles operating in the body of Christ. And so until we are trained and mature in the things, they won't manifest themselves until we learn how to operate in the kingdom properly. So those are two basic scriptures. So let me go through and begin. Last week I gave you a pointer in number 15. I gave you a pointer here. It said, without the flow of grace from the apostles and the prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. So they want to find out what's going on in heaven and bring that so they can release it here on earth. They want, you know, they're not just seeking God and finding out God come in and tell them something and they keep it to themselves. They have, once they get it, they have to come and release it to the body of Christ so that we can operate in it. Those who are members of the body, those who are citizens of the kingdom. Ephesians 2:19 and 20 says that we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And it is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, like I said, I want to impress on us who are in the body of Christ that we have to get a clear understanding. And as we're being trained and taught, I'll keep pointing it out to you and I keep pointing out to you. Then eventually what will happen, the Holy Spirit will come in and begin to reveal. As you hear it, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what he's saying about this supernatural government. See, you're saying, well, why am I getting so much information about this government? It's important that we know. When Apostle Paul over in Ephesians 1 began to talk to the Ephesians, the Ephesians over in 1:17, that he said that he would pray, bow his knees, and that this our God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. So if we give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and what he did, then our understanding will be enlightened. And then we can walk and we will no longer have to walk in darkness, but we can now see where we're going because we've been enlightened in our spirit, man. We can walk this path. We can walk this supernatural path that God has designed for us. You know, like I say, he opened these portals, these supernatural portals that we can operate in the supernatural. But if you can't see them, then we're going to continually be in darkness. So we're going to be operating like we're outside of these supernatural portals, and we're not going to be able to see the supernatural operating in our lives. But once he revealed it to you, then you can see it, and then it begin to manifest. And if you get just one little taste of it, and then you're going to want more and more and more. You're going to thirst and you're going to hunger. And so, you know, that's at Matthew 5 and 6 there. Blessed is the man who thirsts and hunger after righteousness. He said, I'm going to fill him up. That's a principle there. So you begin to thirst and you begin to hunger for the supernatural. You want to see it. You know, I got one sign. I got one miracle in my life. So I know there's more. And so you're going to want more. You're going to want more. And so you're going to continue to seek it and operate out. The next point, and if the church at large continues in this way, that means that allowing the other fivefold ministry gifts to be in place, like the pastor is, you know, right now in the Western Church, I made a statement that they are actually in charge, basically, of the church itself, the pastors, but they're not under apostolic government. Not that God wasn't called by God, but they are not operating the government the way God set it up. God called, just like he called them in those ministry gifts, he also laid down his plans, how he want them to operate. And since he called them, we just can't operate any kind of way. I work for a company, a major company. I just can't go in that company and operate the way I want to. They've set down guidelines. They've set down policies and procedures, and I have to follow those policies and procedures. If I don't, this is in the natural. So if I don't, then eventually I'm going to be outside looking in, seeing the same thing in the kingdom of God. I have to operate the way God set it up, and then I can begin to see that supernatural operating in my life. So now, and I'm about to say, and if the church at large continues in this way, in the way that we are operating with the wrong end of the fivefold ministry gifts in place, whether we got a teacher in place, whether we got an evangelist in place, because many people who are leading people in churches, they've been called by God. But like I say, they are not under the government the way he set it up. And so they, you know, that part of the government is in the wrong place. And so we wonder, you know, why don't we see these signs and these wonders and these supernatural functionings operating in the body of Christ? I mean, we love God. I mean, these individuals love God and they love him with all their heart, but they're not following how he set it up. And that's basically because we're not trained, have not been taught. God said, now I am restoring my apostolic government back in the church so that, you know, we make a mention here at Word Life Christian Center, LTMA. We say we are unusual church. And unusual means things that we're not doing things like we usually do. We're doing unusual things right now. So, and you are, by you being called and being obedient, you're connected to an unusual ministry. And like I said, and just keep pressing, and then those things are going to begin to happen in your life. And if the church at large continues in this way, it will lead us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what God is doing right now. See, and many times that's what we in the church, we teach a historical gospel, meaning that we always teaching people on what God has done in the past. We'll go back and we'll teach them about what the Hebrew boys did when they came out of the fire. We teach them about Daniel and the lion's den. And so, but that doesn't do me any good for what God is doing right now, see. And so if we continue that way, which we're doing, then we're gonna know what he's did in the past, but we're going to miss out on what God is doing right now. The most important thing is that, you know, it's progressive. And so we want to know what God is doing right now. And when we begin to praise and see God. That's what he does. He shows us what he does right now. Scripture 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. So what he did in the past, he's going to do now, and then he's going to do it in the future also. And so if he brought people out of the fire in the past, if he brought the Hebrew boys out of the fire in the past, when I get myself in a fire, I know he can do that today also, just like he did back then. So, and that's the thing that, you know, as we're training, as we're teaching, that's the thing that we want you to understand. That was a portal that opened up from heaven that those Hebrew boys, it had to be something. It wasn't a natural thing that, three individuals could go into a fire and they come out not being burned or not, you know, have any, even the smell of smoke on them. The ones who was not in the kingdom, you know, that threw them in, they got burned up, see. But these folks, so that's what I'm talking about, being citizens of this supernatural kingdom that we are operating in. And God said, I can protect you. I can put around. Which was an apostle. I always tell you that Moses himself was as an apostle. He was Old Testament apostle because God was setting up government and for the people at that time. And some turn to Psalm 103. And so this is what basically happens to the church. But as an apostle, and you got apostolic leadership, and he's listening to what heaven wants, and we are connected to that apostle, then we'll get like the apostle and begin to operate. In Psalm 103, that's that lesson there where you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. See, these, you know, we're being taught that. And so let's go on to the number six. He said, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And then in verse 7, he said, and he, God, made known his ways unto Moses, which was the apostle, and he his acts to the children of Israel. What are you saying there? He said, we can know his acts because we can read the Bible and saw what his acts were. But now he had an apostle that was in his place. He showed his ways to him. And if the apostle come back and show his ways to the congregation, then they can know his ways also. So as apostle is hearing from heaven, he's teaching. God is teaching that apostle his ways. And so then as he is teaching the apostle his ways, then the apostle can come back and impart those same ways that he knows about until the congregation or to the people or to the body of Christ. This is an impartation that takes place. And when that impartation takes place, and then we just won't know his acts anymore. We won't know those acts that he did for somebody else. We can know his ways and know. So, well, now I know if he did it for them, he'll do it for me also. He'll do the exact same thing for me. And so, you know, I keep talking about impartation. Turn to Numbers. I missed this from yesterday. I missed Phil a test yesterday for myself. Turn to Numbers. And I think I showed it to you once, but I want to show it to you again. I keep saying impartation. And Numbers chapter 11, and like I say, these are basic scriptures, and you can go back and you can meditate them. And again, I point them out to you, and as I point them out to you, it's not my place to teach you these scriptures. It's my place to point them to you. And when I point them to you, then the Holy Spirit, which is the teacher, which is the Spirit of truth, will come in and reveal these scriptures to you. You know, unless it's revealed to you, you never get them in your head. You can memorize them until you turn blue in the face. But until the Spirit of God reveal it to you, what those scriptures are saying to you in particular, you'll never get it. Yeah, I mean, it'll be just like, you know, it's like hidden mysteries that you won't know about. Here in Numbers number 11, chapter 11, verse 16, and the Lord said, I keep talking about impartation. So now we are part of, in this case, we you know, God called each one of us into the ministry for some particular purpose, for some particular reason. We don't know what they are yet, some of us, but we know that God has called us in. You know, as he tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts and plans I have of you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So we have a destiny for every one of us already. And so what, as the apostle is hearing from heaven, he got other individuals that's also being trained in the things of God, had already been trained. So here in, he says in 16, he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, which was the apostle of the time, he said, give unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto me into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So, you know, the apostle can't do everything by itself. So as we're going through those duties executed by an apostle and those things that he's doing, he's training and those type of things. And so now you are disciples and you know those things. So he'll bring you in. He say, and I, God says, bring them into the congregation and stand there with thee. He said, and God say, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it up on them. That's an impartation that takes place. And God said, this is the way I do things. This is my ways. God, he said, what did he say? He said, Moses knew his ways. The children of Israel knew his acts and what he did. Us just knowing what God do and not knowing how he do it, his ways, the way he do it, and then we can never get to the point that God want us to be. So our way is, we understand that God takes what's on our apostle and he imparts. God himself take what's on him and he imparts that to me, so I can operate in the kingdom just like the apostle do. Why? Because I got that apostolic anointing upon my life. I have to know that I got that apostolic anointing on my life in order to operate like the apostle. I'm not an apostle, but I'm under apostolic government and I'm connected to an apostle. And the same thing that comes, I can watch him, I can connect to him properly, and the same thing that he do, I can do also, because I'm connected properly. That was the same thing that happened over in Acts 6 when he took those table waiters and he imparted those apostles, imparted what was on them on those table waiters, and they begin to operate just like those apostles. They begin to do signs and wonders and miracles. This is God's way. This is the way he do things. And if we learn how he do things, then we can just watch and again, there's that progressive revelation, and we begin to operate in the supernatural. Let me give you some more pointers. I want to show you that. You can mark that scripture and you know, go back and meditate and think about it. It's not a meditation scripture this week, but that's a good scripture. The fivefold anointing of teacher, Jesus demonstrated by both preaching and demonstrating his message with miracles. He did both of them. He preached it, and not only did he preach it, he manifested. And so that's what we are supposed to be doing. Each one of us, as we're ministering the gospel and we're teaching the gospel, we are supposed to be demonstrating also. And when he told the apostles in Acts in 1 and 8, and he say, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you should be witnesses unto me, both in Judea, Jerusalem, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That means that we also, as we're ministering the gospel, and we should be witnesses, we should be manifesting and demonstrating the gospel just like Jesus did when he was here on the earth. And that's fullness of stature of Christ Jesus. Those who experienced his teaching was shocked by how different it was, and it was different because, unlike the other teachers, that they had the scribes and the Pharisees who was teaching at the time, he said his was with his teaching. He taught them with authority and with power. See, that's authority and power. So you can have authority to do something, but many times you don't have the power to carry out that authority. I take for instance, on Sunday morning we have policemen who are out on the corner and they're directing traffic. They have the authority to direct or stop the traffic. They can come up as the car's coming up, and they can hold their hand up because they have that authority to do that. The car will stop. But they don't have the power to stop that vehicle. If that vehicle decide it want to keep on going, they can hold their hand up all they want. They don't have the power to stop it because it's going to run right over them. And so Jesus said, I have the authority to do it, and I also have the power to stop the enemy in your life. And so if I have that authority, so I got them both. And, you know, I've been authorized by God to carry this out. And not only was I authorized by him to carry this out, I have the power to do something about it. And so that's how Jesus saw why he was here on the earth. He had that power and authority to carry it out. I'll turn to Mark chapter 1. I see some scriptures, foundation. It ain't just coming off of. In Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 22, it says, and they was astonished at his doctrine. That was talking about Jesus. He was an example. He's an example about how we should be teaching the gospel here on earth. It's saying they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And so, like I said, the scribes was teaching, but Jesus said, you know, I got the authority to teach this. And not only do I have the authority to teach this, I also have the power to carry it out. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Again, he says the same thing. And it... Verse 27 and 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, he was teaching again, the people were astonished. See, that's why we're in the body of Christ. We should get to the point that when we begin to teach and minister the thing that, you know, and the our signs and wonders begin to operate and manifest in our lives and people's lives, our people should be astonished. Where did they get this authority from? Where did they get this power from? And so, again, that's that apostolic government that's in place, and we begin to see those signs and those wonders operating in our lives. You see, and the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and again, not as the scribes. One other scripture, and then we'll go on and give you some more pointers. Turn to Luke. And chapter 4, looking at verse 32. So I've covered authority. Now we're going to see that not only did he have authority to do this, he also, God has given him the power to do it also. Here in Luke 4 and chapter 32, it say, and they, again, was astonished at his doctrine. For now, it say, for his word was with power. So that means I got the authority to do it, and also have the power to carry out that which I say. That man at the pool of Siloam, when he walked up to him, he said, take up that bed and walk. He said, what, you know, do you want to be healed or do you want to be whole? And he told him to take up his bed and walk. So he you know, they asked him, where did he get the authority to tell this man to get up and walk? And, you know, he explained to them. But not only did he have the authority to tell him, he had the power when he told him his words had enough power in those words that he had in him that he could get up and walk. That man had been saying that for 38 years, never had moved before. But when he told him that the authority was there and also the power was there to carry out that which God had told him to do. Amen. So let's go on and say, give you some more pointers here. Those who experienced his teaching were shocked by how different it was. And it was different because, unlike the other teachers, he taught them as one having authority and power. Authority and power. Authority, I want you to see the authority and power. Christ is the model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church. I remember over in, Matthew, where he said, when they asked him who the men say I was, I am. And they began to guess of who he was. And Peter got that revelation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, man didn't reveal this to you, Peter. He said, this came from heaven. See, and because it came from heaven, now is a revelation to him. Man didn't tell him, but God himself revealed that to him. And he said, and upon this rock, on that revelation, he said, I'm going to build my church. And then he said, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. Why? Because something from heaven had came down and revealed it to a man. Those portals had opened up. And because the portals had opened up, so no matter what hell brings against it, it cannot prevail against that which God has told him, see. And so as we begin to see that, we begin to know that nothing that the enemy is. That's the church. That's who we are. That's the church. We are the church. We are a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ himself is the head. We are the body. And since we are the body, then if nothing can prevail against him, then nothing can prevail against us once we know that. So we are operating in this supernatural kingdom the way Jesus operated while he was here on the earth. And the implication of his teaching model is that unless we bring people into the tangible supernatural reality of the gospel, we have no authority to teach it. So we have to, in the body of Christ, we have to bring people into the tangible. That means it's something I can feel. I can see it. I can touch it. See, our tangible reality of the good news of what Christ Jesus did for us while he was here on earth, when he died for us. See, we always think about, when I say gospel, when we think gospel, we always think about good news. Good news is meaning that what he did for me, what he provided for me, how he was wounded for my transgressions, how he was bruised for my iniquities, how the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I'm healed. See, I know that. That's a tangible. See, that's to me, it has been revealed to me and it has been shown to me. And since it has been shown to me, and then when the enemy come along and he tried to bring a fact upon me, on my life, I know what the truth says. And because I know what the truth says, then I won't allow that to come up on me. Why? Because I'm operating in the truth. And so that, to me, that's tangible. That's a supernatural reality. And so so once we get to the point and know that while he was here, and when he went to the cross, and when he was buried, and when he got up, and when he ascended, he finished everything that God has provided for any citizen of the kingdom of God. Everything that we need, he's already provided for us. And so so what we do, how we get it? We get it by faith. And like I say, if we go back, and I'm not going to go through each one of them, but, as the Spirit of God was ministering to us so faithfully yesterday through the apostles coming from heaven, all these things I've heard, but I heard it in a new way yesterday. My measure of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, God's kind of faith. And the Spirit of faith, the Holy Spirit's faith. All these are part of my life that I can operate in. And so now I never have to go back to my part because I only got a measure. But see, he gave it to Jesus without measure. See, Jesus had it without measure. See, I know God has it without measure. We're supposed to have his kind of faith. We can operate in his faith. Then, 2 Corinthians 4:13. In fact, that'll be our meditation scripture. I like that one. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And let's look at that one. And so we use, because like I said, there's nothing we can do in the kingdom without faith. We can get all this word. We can go to, Rema Bible College. We can go to Baptist Seminary. We can go to Word of Life Christian Center, whatever we want to go. But unless we have faith in what we're hearing, we can never operate in these things that God is telling us about. Because Hebrews 11:6, God said, without faith, And what did he say? He said, y'all can't please me anyway. He said, those who come into me must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verse 13, I always like that scripture because there's something that I have to do. See, in that particular one, there's something God does and there's something that he's already done. And then I have to take and put my faith to. Here's 2 Corinthians 4 and 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. He said, I believe, this is Apostle Paul. He said, I believe and therefore have I spoken. And we also believe and therefore speak. And so what he's saying there is, you know, that it's written that he was wounded. I believe that, but I have to speak that also, see, because, I have to have faith for that. And when I have faith for that, then that what God said in his word, he said, he watches over his word to perform it. Jesus said he spoke as one who had, his word was with power. So God said, I've taken all my attributes, all my ability, all my characteristics, and I put it in my word. And when I speak those words to you, whatever you need to carry out in this life, to operate in the supernatural, is in those words, and you can be. So, we're in the kingdom, and we never say nothing. Then guess what? Nothing ever happens to us. Just, we just know scriptures. But nothing is happening to me. I'm in a supernatural kingdom where I got victory in every situation, and I won't say something. I won't say anything. So the spirit of faith says here, not only am I crucified with Christ, and I can operate in his faith, not only in Romans 12 and 3, where I say I have, a measure of faith, not only do we understand that the world was framed by faith and those type of things, but we have to know. We have to be able to say. And so I like that one because there are some things that we have to say and we have to do and we have to believe to operate in this kingdom. Let me go on and give you some more pointers because my time is running out on me here. It says, but the church at large being using earthly models, using templates gleaned from earth's government and in an attempt to replicate heaven. So basically what the church has done, they take earth models. They take a democratic a standing on thing. They come into church and they want to vote about what happened, what God can do. If you say aye, everybody hold a hand and say aye. If you say nay. So what they're doing, there's an earthly model of operating in the church. There's no earthly model how God operates in the church. God is a theocracy, not a democracy. God say, I am it. There's only one God. And when God says something, that's where it is. You can vote on it all you want. It does no good because God said, and that's where it should be. But we are in the church. We've set up boards and, various organizations that can rule the church, manage the church. And what they've done, they manage God out of those situations. So God can't do what he want to do because men have decided, we going to do it this way. God said, y'all go ahead and do it that way. And when we decide what we're going to do, then we become our God. And the manifestation that we get is what we get. And so there's no supernatural activity in the church because of that. And so we're still operating, rather than having heaven's template, we are operating on earth templates and from earth governments. But only heaven's templates can reproduce heaven on earth. Only heaven's template, only what God says can operate heaven on earth. And so I'll turn to John 3. I make these statements, but until you get a foundation to stand on, turn to John chapter 3. And looking at verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
So, you know, that I always say, you know, when I see scripture, you know, and he be ministering, I always look at the principles there. And he said, we can't operate in the kingdom here on earth. I have days of heaven on earth. Let's God come down and give it to someone. Come from heaven. Like we're saying, the apostle is hearing from heaven, finding out what heaven wants here on earth. So we can operate in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. He said, I mean, it's a few times I saw it in there. The guy, he revealed it to us again yesterday in Deuteronomy, where he said, and then we can have days of heaven here on earth. Days of heaven here on earth. And, you know, that's to me, you know, everybody had to go to heaven. But guess what? We can have those days right here on earth, where there's no sickness and no disease, where there's no lack and no poverty, where there's peace, you know, where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. That's here, right here on earth. So we can walk through here. We can be full of peace. We can be full of joy and, you know, and not even concern ourselves. I mean, you know, they can have storms falling all around you, you know, breaking out, chaos everywhere. But you can be walking here on earth in peace and not be concerned about what's going on. Psalm 91 tells us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we can live there. We don't have to get outside of that. And so if we don't have to get outside of that, we can stay in that kingdom and we can begin to see supernatural manifestations. One of the greatest things that the Spirit of God, you know, has revealed to me was about sickness and disease, for instance. I like that because that's one of the biggest things that attacks the church, that they can see a lot. You know, I can truly say that 90% of the church is sick. I have some form of sickness, because I work there. I see them every day. But basically, you can't tell people about what Jesus. I mean, even people in the body of Christ, unless you're sitting here on a training like this and being taught things like this, and you tell them, they say, yeah, I know. You know, but then they go on and say, you know, I need my 9, 10, 12, 11, 12 prescriptions filled. And, you know, and they want to go home and they never know that Jesus have already, you know, provided for their sicknesses and their diseases. And so what do you say? You know, sickness is beginning ready to attack you. And so, it may be a fact that the sickness and disease is coming up on you, but I got the truth on it. And the truth says, you know, he'll say things like, hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That means that when they tell you about that sickness and disease, you ain't going to say, that's my sickness or that's my disease. You're going to find out what he said, what the truth said about it, and that's what you're going to follow. That's what, those are the little supernatural things that God be telling us in the scripture. You go in and you begin to see him, and he'll begin to reveal these mysteries to you as you thirst and hunger after these things. Let me go on and get you couple more points. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people already expect from their earthly experiences. So the church right now, you know, that's like those people who come in and get those prescriptions. They expect to be sick. They expect to get their prescriptions filled and go home, and those prescriptions gonna heal them, which never does. They take one. And that causes about 10 side effects, and they need 2 more drugs to take care of that side effect. I see it every day. And, you know, so, you know, you start off with 1 or 2, then you're on 4, then you're on 6, then you're on 8, then you're on 9, and before you know it, they're coming in there with, get to roll out their prescriptions that they are carrying with it, you know. And, you know, I see it every day. And then next thing you know, you pick up the paper, which I don't. But then somebody come in and they say, I was reading in the obituary, and that person is gone. Why? Because they depended. I mean, I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about who are in the kingdom, who can operate in the supernatural if they're being taught. So we are maturing in the things of God. God is training us, and we are no longer expecting, you know, this world system to be our source. God is our source, and he's training us how to operate in the supernatural, so operate in the kingdom the way Jesus said, I came through and I began to teach those apostles. He said, and things pertaining to the kingdom. Acts, let me turn. I got a couple, 22 seconds. So turn to the Acts chapter 1, and then let me see that, and then we're going to end with that scripture here in Acts chapter 1. And I'm still talking about the teacher. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." So he gave commandments to those apostles. He said, "And to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So while he was walking here after he resurrected, he was walking the earth and he was teaching them how to operate in the kingdom on earth. And again, I said, the church is a supernatural entity in the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that we are no longer just hearers of what you do tell us, but we have become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.